Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Look down at verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, Boy, you talk about, these were Jews. Think about all that the Jewish nation has been through. Think about it, all right? This is what they said. His blood be on us and on our children. Ooh, gives me goosebumps. Think about that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to learn some things, dear God. And thank you again, Lord, for the Bible. Lord, it is what we need. America has never needed anything today like it needs the Word of God. The Old Testament talks about a famine, not of food, not of water, but a famine of the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, I feel like that we are starving to death, Lord, and yet if you look around us, there's Bibles everywhere. And Lord, thank you for that there's still Christian people. And I know, Lord, we have hardworking people here and they've put in a long day. And Lord, but they still care enough about the Word of God, Lord, to come to church and to set and to bring their King James Bible and want to learn something. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd reward them, Lord, tonight through the study of the Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to continue on our Bible couples, and I'm going to go ahead and select Pilate and his wife. I know we just have one verse here, just a little bit of insight concerning their relationship. And so I'm going to teach down through this, and first of all, talk to the men that's here tonight concerning some things we can learn from Pilate, and then also this relationship of his wife, this little bit of information that's given that I think will help us all. Who was Pilate, preacher? Well, he was a Roman governor of Judea. He reigned, by the way, through the entire lifespan of the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly lifespan, from the time he was born until after his crucifixion. During his life, he made a lot of important decisions. I have no doubt about that. But none held more significance than the one that's thrust upon him in the midst of a time where he thought it was just going to be festivals and celebration and just appearances and photo ops. All of a sudden, he's put in this almost impossible situation. And Pilate, as a result, makes one of the most disastrous decisions in the history of mankind. Granted, it was a tough decision. It was a terrible decision. It was thrust upon him without warning. But you know what? It was his job to make the decision, and it was his job to get it right. Problem is, we're going to see tonight, he had too much politician in him. And although Pilate's decision was allowed, and it was, by Jehovah God in order to fulfill Old Testament prophecy and his promise to redeem all mankind from their sins, even though God allowed it, it does not dismiss Pilate's guilt or excuse his eternal liability. I want to say that because, man, we're going to talk about making decisions. And one of the things that will affect our marriages one way or another, for either positive or negative, is in the decisions that we make. And so, yes, Jesus was going to go to the cross. And yes, God allowed this. But it was Jesus also said this: woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And Pilate still has to answer for his wrong decision. So we're going to spend a little time tonight talking about decisions and how to make good decisions as husbands. And then we're going to look at this kind of real neat little part of the Bible here, this little insight, this little lesson that I think will go right along with this. So let's first of all talk about this. Let's gain some insight on this. Preacher, I'm facing a tough decision, and I want to make sure I make the right decision. You know, life is full of decisions. And gentlemen, the honest truth is that, you know what, if we have a biblical home, then it is your responsibility to make the final decision when it concerns your home. And so because of that, we want to make sure we get it right. The man that just wants the power to make the right decision, you know what? He's kind of dangerous. But the man that doesn't see it as a power play, but instead as a huge divine responsibility, something he wants to get right because it is going to affect his wife and it is going to affect his children. Gentlemen, we can't make these big decisions flippantly. We've got to make sure that we're getting them done well. And I will tell you this, we're going to look at a handful of things here that Pilate did right. He did a number of things right in making decisions here, making this decision, but then in the end, he did some things that are terribly wrong. So you're going to be able to learn a little bit from the right things he did, because, by the way, he came to the right conclusion. Remember what it said there at the end where he asked for the water? And he said, washed his hands, said, I'm innocent of this just man. He knew in his heart that he was innocent. He knew the right verdict should be. How did he come to that? How did he know that? How was he that close to making the right decision, but then to make such a horribly wrong decision? Well, let's learn some positive things from Pilate. First of all, you know what? All of a sudden, he's put in a place of judgment where he has to make a judgment call. He has to make a decision. Every once in a while, I hear somebody, you know, they know one verse about judging. They only know one. And this is it. Judge not that you be not judged. I would suggest to you, before you use that and condemn everybody that ever has to make a judgment call. By the way, if we really believed that, we'd have to shut down one third of our government, the judicial system. By the way, there's an Old Testament book called Judges, okay? And the honest truth is we have to make a lot of judgment calls. We have to make a lot of decisions that's based on our best judgment. And that's where he finds himself. So he's got one group that's putting pressure on him. They want Jesus Christ killed. And yet, you know what? He doesn't know whether or not Jesus is deserving of death. And so he goes through a process here. Let me first of all point out this to you. Before making a decision, number one, before making a decision, here it is, discover the truth. Discover the truth. Now, until you have the truth, you're not equipped to make the right decision. You got to, first of all, know the truth. Okay, you've got some people saying he's the Messiah. He may even be the Son of God. He's a good man. He healed my boy. He healed my husband. He raised the dead. He fed us out of a little boy's back. He's got that coming to him. And then he's got these leaders that are saying, no, he's a deceiver. He's a fake. He's a fraud. He's usurping the authority and threatening the Roman government. He's a threat to Caesar. And so he's getting two complete different stories, all right? That's never happened to any of us in life, right? Where this person's telling you this story, and this person, now these two people were involved in the same incident. This person's telling you this story, this person's telling you this story, and this story is so absolutely opposite of this story, you wonder, are they talking about the same thing? Okay, but we're put in those kind of situations. As parents, you're going to be put in that situation a lot. You get two kids, you walk in, guess what? They're having a war. They're fighting in the bedroom. They're rolling around. They're trying to kill each other. And then you separate them. And then you get to one and try to get what happened. You get to the other one, try to get what happened. And this one is an angel who has divine authority to declare this one a devil. But this one claims, I am not a devil, I'm actually the angel. And the devil is over there, you know. And so we have to make judgment calls from time to time. Now, that means we have to discover the truth. Hey, what was Pilate very good at? Pilate was very good at this. Boy, get this. He was very good at asking questions. Asking questions. And in life, folks, before you decide what the truth is, you ought to spend some time asking questions. Go over to John chapter number 18. Save your place there in Matthew. And let's go over to John chapter number 18. And we'll read some more information, some more insight as far as what happens, so we can kind of get all of the story. So Matthew chapter number 18. Remember, the Bible never contradicts itself, but it does complete itself. And so you ought to read everything that it says about an event before you make judgment calls there and learn some things. So we're in John chapter number 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. John 18, verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? What was that? That's a question. Question mark right there. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. By the way, when people don't want to give you a straight answer, then whether or not they've answered you or not, they're giving you answers. Okay? Well, why not just tell him? Why not just, you just need to trust us. We've decided he's a malefactor, so why are you asking questions about it? He's a malefactor. You notice there's people that walk around with that attitude? I've decided that person's bad, so everybody ought to believe they're bad. I decided that was wrong, so everybody should believe it's wrong. And they usually don't like people asking questions, okay? But that's what he does, all right? Then Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered. We read that, verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. What the saying, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, when I'm talking about asking questions, folks, listen, and I want to help you. You know, you can either pretend to be just and pretend to be fair, or you can decide to be just and fair. But don't go to one side, listen to one side of a story, and then make conclusions. Okay, are you listening to me? Don't do that, because you're going to be wrong more times than you're going to be right. Okay, most people want you to be just until you say, okay, I've heard you, now let me go talk to the person. Well, wait, what do you need to talk to them? Because I want to be just. Okay, because I want to be fair. You know what I really want? The truth. None of us in here ought to be afraid of the truth. Okay, the truth will set you free. Okay, I mean, you want to cure all or most of the conflict and problems both in your family and in society today? Why don't everybody just be truthful? Why don't they just be truthful about what's going on and what's really behind it? Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Just tell the truth. Just be truthful, okay? And so now he comes in and talks to Jesus. Verse, art thou the king of the Jews? Another question. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did another tell it thee of me? Remember what I talked to you, young adult class? Isn't it amazing? Study the Bible, all the questions that Jesus was asked, and see if he hardly ever answers a question with a direct answer. He answers questions with a question because he's trying to get Pilate to see something here, okay? Pilate then answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Question. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of the world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Then saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he turned, went out again. You know what he's, honestly, I don't think this is a bad man. I think, honestly, he just wants to settle this. I think he wants to figure out what's going on. I think he wants to get to the truth. But again, you're going to see in the end, he also was more worried about taking care of himself in the end. in his political status than he was being, carrying out what the truth should have had him do. So just as a general rule, let me just say this. Learn to ask questions. In life, ask a lot of questions. If you're asking somebody questions and they don't like it or it's making them nervous or uncomfortable, there's probably a reason for it, okay? I was thinking about this today because of what just happened in my office this morning. But every couple years, about every 2 years, we do a complete reevaluation of our church's insurance. You know why? Because I hate paying insurance. I think between the taxes and the insurance and the medical field, the three biggest scams that's going on in the United States of America, and I mean that. But so if we're going to write checks and we're going to pay the amount of money we got to pay for insurance, I want to make sure that things are done right and we're on top of it and we're getting the best deal. And so, I set up an appointment with three different insurance men, the one that we're now with, and other two to give me quotes. And we go through this process every couple of years, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of time, but it's still worth it. I really believe that we're probably, 5 years ago, we made drastic changes in our insurance. We almost saved in 5 years $50,000. And let me tell you why. I ask questions. When they come into the office, I've done my homework. I'm not going to fall for the typical pitch. I'm not going to, you know what makes salesmen a nervous wreck? When you start asking questions that you know the answer to and they know you know the answer to, just to see whether or not they're honest, you know. And so, you know what, I ask questions. I got done with one guy and he looked at me and he said, look, not done with him, but in the middle of the interrogation, he stopped and he finally said, hey, you know a lot about this. Did you used to sell insurance? And I said, no, I didn't used to sell insurance. What are you talking about in life? Ask questions, okay? And the guy today told me, he said, Pastor, thank you. This has been enjoyable to me. He said, very few guys know the right questions to ask. And he said, I like getting these kind of questions. Now, what I'm saying is, folks, you know what I want in all of this? I just want the truth. I want the truth. You hear what Pilate said at the end there? What is truth? I think he lived in an arena where there's so many lies and so much politics and so much ulterior motives that you get to the point in his line of business, I think it was refreshing for him to have a conversation with, wasn't it Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth. I'm going to tell you, everything that came out of his mouth was the truth. So just learn to ask questions. Remember, we're talking about discovering the truth. How do you do it? You ask questions. Number two, you evaluate motive. You evaluate motive. Matthew chapter 27, if you're back there, you want to flip back there real quick and save those two spots. But Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, Pilate asked them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Look at verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now, let me tell you what Pilate was able to. And by the way, we're now at the point where he's brought out Barabbas. So all the questions that he questioned the scribes and the Pharisees and all the questions he's given to Jesus. You know what he discerned by asking questions? See, folks, not only do I want you want to know the truth before you make a decision, you want to know the motive. Okay? You want to know the motive. All right? So what are you talking about? I'm talking about that a lot of people are, when they come to you and they're wanting you to do something or wanting you to buy something or wanting you to make a decision or something, they have a motive. They have something that they're trying to accomplish. And again, you've got to be very careful about that. Jesus, or Pilate, by the time he got done talking to them scribes and Pharisees, he wasn't a dummy. He didn't become governor because he was a dummy. You know what? He had the ability to read people and ask the right questions and figure out motive. You know what he figured out after a few minutes? You know what? They're just jealous of him. Let me tell you the number one reasons that usually people come in attack mode against another brother or sister in Christ. Envy. Envy or jealousy. By the way, I know the right questions. I can sniff that out in a heartbeat. Most of the time, the issue that's being presented isn't the real issue. When you're being pressured to make a decision about something, the person there usually has a motive. You know, if we've done something a certain way for 5 years and it's never been a problem, all of a sudden it becomes a problem, then I got to ask, why wasn't it a problem for the last 5 years? And you begin to say, what is the motive behind this? And so Pilate asked, after he questioned Jesus Christ, you know what was pure about his questioning of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what was pure about that? Was he wasn't make. Do you find in here anywhere where he's begging for his life? You find out anywhere where he's trying to pretend to be something he's not? Does he dig out some vendetta that he has against the scribes and the Pharisees? I mean, you know what he's getting? He's getting from this man the truth. From the others, he's getting manipulation, but from this one, he's getting the truth. He figured it out. So you want to find the truth. How do you do that? You ask questions. How do you do that? You look for motive, okay? Number three, by the way, here's a good thing. Listen to the Savior. Listen to the Savior. When Pilate talked to Jesus, he really listened. And of course, the words of God. Jesus said, or the Bible says, that in the beginning was the Word. You know what? He wasn't just listening to Jesus. He was listening to the very Word of God. And so what I want to do is I want to find the truth by asking questions. I want to figure out the motives that are in play here. And then I want to go to the words of Jesus Christ. I want to go to the Bible. And I want to let the Bible weigh in on the situation. Too many times what we want to do in a matter of making a right decision, gentlemen, if we're not careful, is making a decision based on what we think. And sometimes we have to make, like I said, a judgment call. But always make sure you let the Word of God weigh in on it. Okay? I've listened to you, and I've listened to you, and I've asked questions of you, and I've asked questions of you, and I've asked questions of you that will tell me motive, and I've asked questions of you that will tell me motive. But before I make a decision based on what you said or what you said, I think I'll go see what God says about this. And the best way to make sure that you're making the right decision is not by which side is so more persuasive in trying to convince you. But you want to make sure that you go to the Bible and let the Word of God weigh in on the situation. And when he went to talk to Jesus, he listened to him. And he sensed from him that he was getting the truth. Isn't this good for us? So I'm just giving you a real quick formula. How do you make the right decision? Before you make a decision about anything, get the truth. You know, it's hard to get the truth out of a salesperson because they have a built-in motive. You know, now it's possible and you can do it, but you better know how the questions you need to ask. And you know what? I don't even mind that they got a built-in motive. You know, I'm for capitalism. I don't hold that against them. I just know that they're probably going to want to slant things and word things in such a way to make me want to buy their product. Okay, but if I go in there knowing that, doesn't make them a bad person, but I need to be aware of it. You know, there's not too many car salesmen that are going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is a nice vehicle, but I was just driving by the other dealership, and I saw a car you better go take a look at, man. I mean, I think it might be a, you probably have never heard that in your life, you know. But can I say this? You're kind of foolish for buying a car at one dealership if you haven't gone checked out everything else. You know, that's not his fault. That's our lack of homework and discernment, you see. And so what they wanted to do was just pressure. Listen, watch this. Why did I tell you to go to this? Because you're either going to learn to make in life decisions based on principle, or you're going to be always making decisions based on pressure. And that may be the best thing you hear tonight. If you'll make decisions based on principle, then principle will insulate you from pressure. And man, if you get up and act like I'm going to go to that other dealership, that salesman's going to pressure you. He don't want you to leave there, okay? And probably most of us in our life at some point made a purchase based on pressure and not principle. So you know what I always tell them? You know what? You got to have principles in life. So I'll look them right now. I said, thank you for your time. Well, listen, let me get my manager. I said, listen to me. You can get your manager. You can get the president, you can get. But you got to understand, a principle of my life is this, is I will never buy a vehicle until I've done due diligence. And there's at least five other dealerships I'm going to go visit. But thank you for your time. And when I say that, usually they're, you know what? They quit pressuring because they realize he's principled. See, I'm telling you how to take pressure out of your life. My dad said something to me once that, man, was one of the most valuable things. During our transitioning when I was becoming a pastor, I met with him several times and just wanted to learn everything I could. And one of the things he said was this, boy, and this will help you. I mean, this isn't just for preachers, this is for everybody. He said, God will not put more on you than you can handle, but people will. Amen? We ever heard that? Well, God wouldn't put more on you than you can handle. Oh, that's true. But people will. And you know what? In life, I was talking to somebody just this the other day and trying to help them with some advice on, they're carrying things they shouldn't be carrying. You know, if you've never read the book on mountain lessons, then don't buy it if you don't want it, but just stand back there and open the chapter and read it on what to put in your backpack. How much weight should you carry? I mean, you know, everybody's got a backpack in life, and that's right. It's, by the way, if you're looking for no pressure, no burden in life, you'll get that when you get to heaven, okay? Bible says, every man shall bear his own burden. It's perfectly right for me and you to carry some things. And if it's mine to carry, then you know what? I shouldn't be trying to get someone else to carry it. It's mine, my responsibility. That goes in my backpack. Okay, it's not would you carry this for me, would you carry this for me. You know, every kid in here wants to take something with you to the car and takes something with you to the store. And then you're in there for 10 minutes and you look at my mom, would you carry this? Would you, you know, you got the little girl's got to have that purse, but then she don't want to carry her purse. Okay, and that's the way people do it in most of their life. Hey, if it's my burden, then I'm carrying it. With God's help, I'm carrying it. That's not the things that cause people to break down. It's not the stuff that we should be carrying that overweighs people, overburdens people. It's stuff we pick up and put in our backpack that really is not our responsibility. And can I say, be so bold as to say this? Not any of our business. Okay? And you really have to understand and figure out in life what belongs to you and what belongs to somebody else and what belongs to God. Okay? A lot of times a pastor, and not, it's true, a pastor, people come to him counsel. Honestly, a lot more times than not, they don't want advice on how to carry their burden. They want to figure out a way to get me to carry their burden. And by the way, when I was a young pastor, I'm going to help everybody. I was carrying everybody's burdens. Only problem is, then I'm not right. I'm not square. I'm not making good decisions. I'm overburdened. I'm overpressured. Okay, and I finally figured out, listen, church, your pastor is not here to take your burdens away. I'm here, if you need me, to give you good advice on how to better carry your burdens, or maybe, if you possible, to even eliminate the burden. That's always a blessing. But you're not going to eliminate everything. God wants every one of us to carry some things. It keeps us dependent on him. Okay, so some things are just the reality of your life. Okay? And so with God's strength, God's help, you can carry it. Sure you can. And so what I'm saying is be careful about that. Just be careful that in this matter of making decisions, make sure that you're going through the proper process. Make sure you're asking the right questions. Make sure you're evaluating motive. Making sure you consider the word of God. Now, so far, by the way, he listened to the words of Christ. You know what? He's done well. And because of that, we find out that he even gets to the right answer. He discovers the truth. And so, number two, first of all, I said before making a decision, discover the truth. We do that by doing three things. We ask questions. We evaluate motive. We consider what the Bible says. Remember, this side, this side, this side. Okay? A lot of times, let me tell you what happens more times than not. Okay? If you get in the habit of making principled decisions, it's not a matter of taking this person's side or this person's side. Usually when I'm done, both of them's mad. I mean, I'm just telling you. Both of them might be a little happy, but both of them's kind of mad. Because most people don't want you to make a principled decision. They just want you to jump on board on their side, declare them right, and the other person, you know, Lucifer. But you know what? That's not a formula for making good decisions. And so decide then the right thing to do. Number one, before making decisions, discover the truth. Number two, based on the truth, decide the right thing to do. He's come to the right decision. He knew the right thing to do. He said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He also said this, I find in him no fault at all. Guess what? He came to the right conclusion. He followed the formula and came to the right conclusions. You got to then decide to do the right thing. Okay? And the Bible even says this, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Okay, he tried to figure out a way then to do the right thing. He's trying to get him released. But then he begins to make some bad decisions. Okay? He found out the truth, and now he knows the right thing to do, and he's trying to do the right thing. But instead of just manning up and making the decision, it's his decision. What were some of the things, preacher, where did this go wrong? Well, here's some of the wrong things he did. You know what? Let's learn from him. Don't pass the buck. If you go over to Luke's commentary on this, his what we find in the book of Luke, go to Luke chapter number 23. Luke 23, and if you'll look in verse number 4, Luke 23, verse number 4. Luke 23, 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people. By the way, that should have been over right then. Okay? You're going to learn something. I want you to learn something without me pointing it out. I want you to learn something. If he said right there, I find no fault in this man, why wasn't it done? What was their reaction? Verse 5. And they were more fierce, saying. Let me tell you something. People that are wrong and trying to get you to do something wrong and you won't do it usually start getting crazy and angry and screaming and intimidate. You're trying to intimidate you at this point. Okay? All right? There's a couple of things that I found out. If I'm having a discussion with a person and we're debating something, okay? He sees it a certain viewpoint, I see it a certain viewpoint. If I keep presenting truth and truth and truth, and truth soon becomes so overwhelming that he no longer can, even logically, let alone scripturally, maintain his position, more times than not, they start calling you names. Anytime someone starts calling me names, I smile. And I usually say something like this. I graciously accept your surrender. You know why, sir? Come on, man. That sometimes when our wives are trying to have a rational decision, we just go to anger and make crazy accusations and start calling names. Watch this. Because she's right. You know why, ma'am, sometimes when your husband's trying to sit down and logically walk you through something and you just want to go into hysterics and cry and start throwing wild accusations? Because he's right. If I can't get him to do what I want based on the truth, I'm going to try to get him to give in based on me, having an emotional breakdown. By the way, parents, look right up here. Your kids do the same thing to you. Like the mom that called me and, Pastor, you just got to change some things in school. Why? My daughter's crying. Well, mercy sakes alive, she's crying. She's crying, folks. Tears. Crying. So let's get the rule book out and let's change anything that might make her cry. Now, if you want to be manipulated by the little brat, then you be manipulated. But I'm not going to be manipulated. Sound good?
Yes,
I'm giving you, parents, so much good stuff here right now. Because some of you, your kids work you. They work you all the time. You are such an easy target. And you can't say no to them when you need to say no to them. You stand here and you know you're right standing here, but next thing you know, when you get done with that conversation, you've backed all the way back up to here. why are you backing up? Yeah, but she was upset. So, you know, did you see that? Why isn't it done, Pilate? You did the questions. You asked the questions. You got the answers. You properly evaluated their bad motive. You properly evaluated Christ's innocence. Why isn't it done? Because right there, it takes somebody that's man enough and say, my decision on my shoulders, and this is the way it is. But all of a sudden, look at verse 5. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. What do you mean beginning in Galilee? What? Well, yeah, that's where he was born. That's his hometown. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. Now, folks, here's what I'm talking about, passing the buck. Okay, I love what Herod did. Herod said, oh, cool, I've heard some things. I want to see some tricks. Maybe he'll do some miracles. And he wouldn't do that. So he laughed at him, he mocked him, he dressed him up and sent him back. And guess what? Most of the time when you're trying to pass the buck and not make a decision, you want someone else to make it for you. When it's your decision to make, the best thing that could happen is it come right back to you. And again, folks, I'm talking about, listen, stop trying to make decisions that are not your decisions to make. Stop trying to make decisions that are not your decisions to make. If somebody comes to you and they want you to make a decision for them, too many times our pride kicks in. Sorry, this isn't my decision. This is your decision. Okay, you have to make this decision. See, and so don't try to pass the buck, all right? Now here's where we're going to get to talk a little bit about marriage. Look at verse Matthew chapter 27. We're back there again. And verse number 19. Where did he mess up, preacher? Well, he tried to pass the buck. He wanted it to be somebody else's decision. He didn't want to have to deal with this political hot potato. Let me get it out of my court, send it to someone else. I don't want the potential political damage that could come into my life. I'll send it to Herod. What else did he do that wrong that he should have listened to his wife's input? Now look, if you will, in verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 27. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now, folks, the entire timeline of this, kind of interesting. I don't know if Pilate at some point had an opportunity to go home and spend some time with his wife. And you know what he did? He probably, you're not going to believe what fell in my lap today. And he starts talking about this. And she's wise enough to listen to it. And he's saying, you know, the conclusion I'm coming to, I don't know whether she knew he was a just man based on their conversations or whether this is just something that was divinely revealed to her. But you know what? His wife got involved in this situation and just said, listen, the Lord's troubling me about this. Folks, the Bible says that she was troubled in a dream. Isn't that right? In this day in a dream because of him. And I'm going to tell you, let me help something with you. You know, one of the great times where God gives you a lot of times real clarity. And listen, I'm talking about real hard decisions. Folks, we all got to face hard decisions in life. Don't make them fast. Don't make them under pressure. But you know what? Where there's a lot of times in my life at least, and I think in Pilate's wife's life, a time of real clarity is when the sun goes down. You know, when everybody's got to go to their house and all the voices are quiet. And I don't know what it is, but preacher, man, I'm trying to make this decision. I mean, it's keeping me up at night. Can I say this? That's probably not a bad thing. Preacher, I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about this. And I've got to make a decision on it, so I get up. That's not a bad thing. Okay? And so many times, that's the time when we're the quietest. That's time when the world's quietest. Our phone's not going off. There's not conversation. TV's not on. You know, a lot of times that's when God, a lot of times, will give you real clarity. I don't know how many times I've wrestled all day trying to make the right decision on something and still not knowing exactly what to do. And then, in the middle of the night, wake up. And within just a few minutes, God gave me a complete clarity, clear view, clear insight. This is the right thing. And so she had that experience, and she gave her husband good counsel. Now, I'm going to give the men some advice. I'm going to give the ladies some advice. Men, listen to me. Most of us, if we were honest, we've made decisions in our life that our wife was uncomfortable about. And if we would have listened to her, we would have been better off. Okay, come on. We can all go like this. It ain't going to kill you, okay? Now, listen to me. Don't make a major decision in your life without talking over to your wife. Okay, it's no proof of masculinity or manhood to run over the top of your wife's fears and misgivings just to prove that you're the man and you're going to make the decision. And so talk over things with your wife, okay? And listen to her. I mean, consider her viewpoint. Consider what she's telling you, okay? Now, let me say this, ladies. I just have given you, and I think biblically so, rightfully so, an awful lot of influence in your husband's decision-making process. Look right up here. Don't you misuse that. Don't you misuse that. Okay, well, I'm glad you said that because he needs to listen to me more. Is your problem really about the decision, or is it a problem that you don't get to be the one that makes the decision? Okay, you got to figure some things out. But also, one of the reasons that it's very easy for me to talk over decisions with my wife is my wife has a track record of making very wise and very selfless, and that's an important word, selfless decisions. If you show your husband, prove to your husband that almost all of your opinions and everything you want him to do is based on what you want or what you think you need or it's for you, then I don't blame him for not listening to you. You shouldn't take the advice of a selfish, self-centered, materialistic wife. Sorry, ladies, you just disqualified yourself. But at the same time, you know what? You would be well served, gentlemen, if you've been given a good woman and a godly woman. Now, I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about good, godly woman that has shown wisdom and carefulness and discernment and a selflessness. And she walks with the Lord. You'd be well served to consider very carefully her opinion. You think right now, if Pilate's wife's message would have carried more weight, he could have done the right thing right here. Okay, we're almost done. So listen to your wife's input. Don't base your opinion on popularity. So he tries to pass the buck. That doesn't work. It comes back on him. His wife sends a note and says, nah, don't have anything to do with this just man. He's innocent. Let him go. Okay? He puts that aside. And now he's thinking, man alive. And he's more worried about what people will think of him or the ramifications upon his life if he makes the right decision. So he comes up, Levi, with this genius plot. And he pulls in one of the captains of the guard, and he said, you give me the name of the lousiest, the most wicked, the most low-down, the most murderous. I mean, who is it that all of Jerusalem fears and hates and would be scared to death if he was turned loose in their midst? Barabbas. I mean, he's Charles Manson of the day. Study his life. I don't have time to go through it. Study his life. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get Charlie Manson with his little swastika on his forehead, and we're going to bring him out here. And then we're going to bring Jesus, and we're going to let them choose. Now, see what he's doing? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of make the right decision, Pilate. It's your decision to make. Make the right one. Okay? But what I'll do is I'm just going to let the people vote on it, and then I'm going to rig it where they'll make the right decision. And you know what? In Pilate's way of thinking, they are too scared of the boogeyman to turn him loose to kill their children and their widowed mothers. And so this is a slam dunk. So what I'm going to do is instead of making the decision, it's his decision. You're the governor. Make the decision. Dads, you're the dad. Make the decision. You're the husband. Make the decision. You know the right thing to do. Stop worrying about what everybody's thinking. Who's going to be mad? Who's not going to talk to you? Make the right decision. All right? So he says, I'll let them decide. So he brings out and tries to, again, base the decision on the popularity of the people. And so he gives them a chance. Let's vote on this thing. And he thinks, man, I've got this. The only problem is the scribes and Pharisees are working the crowd. And you know what? They turn it. I mean, when Barabbas first walked out there, it was like, and they're walking around saying, don't worry, we'll take care of Barabbas. We've already talked. We'll get him. I mean, they're selling it. So, you know what? Pilate said it all in the favor, and he's expecting nobody want to release Barabbas, and everybody's, how about him? Nobody. Then that's why you see the questions, when we go back to questions. Why? What hath he done? You know, it's almost like he can't believe. Are you kidding me? This man who's done nothing wrong, this man, I've questioned him. This guy, you know what he's done. And yet, the election got rigged. The election got rigged. That's why, folks, I said a little bit about it Sunday night. But let me tell you something. I believe in strong pastoral leadership. Okay? This whole idea, well, we're supposed to be a democracy. Not according to the Word of God. You need to study the Bible. Okay? All right, there were 12 thieves or 12 spies that went over to Canaan land. Okay? They came back and voted not to go in. Let me say this. It's a dangerous thing when you leave a decision up to the fickleness of a crowd. It just is. And if you're the man in the seat and it's your job to make the decision, then make the decision. And one of the things I'm not going to ever apologize for is providing the church with strong pastoral leadership. Because I promise you, you go to a church whether you don't have it, you want me to name some, and you've got this faction running the church and this faction trying to topple this faction from running the church, and it all turns internal and it turns into a monstrosity, a disgrace. That's why, you know what? If you're the one that's been put in charge, guys, I'm talking about you at work. Okay, you're the man. You've been put in charge. The boss says it's your call. Stop always trying to make everybody happy. Don't pull them at break time and say, I don't know, guys. Let's just vote on it. If you know the right decision, then make it. I don't understand these dads that say, well, let's have a family meeting. Come on, children. How many think? How many think? Oh, doggone. Son, you, when you woke up this morning, you got in the wrong panty drawer, okay? It was dark and you went to the wrong dresser, all right? Finally woke these guys up. They're finally with me. Finally. Make the decision, pilot. Okay? Stop trying to rig it. Stop trying to work it out. I mean, take it. Listen, folks, you know why I didn't want to do this? Because the honest truth is, making the right decision usually don't make you a popular guy. I told you a minute ago, we live in a principleless, if that's a word, principleless society. And if you stand on principle, you usually make everybody mad. Because a lot of times people are working their motive. They say they want the right thing, but they've got this in their head. And if we can just do this, then we can get this done. And you know, I'm sorry, I wasn't born yesterday. So you make principled decisions, okay? Make decisions based. Man, Pilate, I want to scream. If I'm in the crowd, I'm not screaming crucify him. I'm screaming, man up! Be a man! Don't sit there and bring a basin of water and wash your hands like you can wash away the responsibility of the decision. Make the right decision. Remember Sunday morning, what did I tell our church? Just do right. You realize that's 99.9% of the Christian life? What is the right thing? Do it. And here we go. He's too busy being a politician. Don't base your decision on politics. Remember, you cannot make a wrong decision then claim innocence. He made the wrong decision, then he wanted to wash his hands like he was. Sorry, you don't get to do that. Number 7, remember, you must face the Savior one day over the decisions that you make in this life. And, Pilate, think about that. I've never seen the movie, The Burning Hell. I've heard a lot about it. Never seen the movie. I couldn't tell you what's good, bad, or whatever. But somebody that watched it once told me that part of the movie is they're depicting Pilate in hell. And they show him in hell and he's in front of flames, and he's washing his hands in the flames, screaming out for all eternity, "I'm innocent! I'm innocent! I'm innocent of the blood of this man." You know, decisions carry consequences, both in this life and in the life to come. And you think about Pilate. When death and hell, unless Pilate got saved, I don't know if he did or didn't, but if he didn't get saved, when death and hell marches to the great white throne judgment and they puke out the inhabitants and they stand before Jesus. Isn't it interesting? Pilate was the judge. And he's the one that got to make the decision, condemn this man to crucifixion. But guess what? Now Jesus is the judge. And the best thing that will help all of us make the right decisions is God's put me in a situation where I've got to make a judgment call. I've got to make this decision. But one of these days, I'm going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to talk to the real judge about whether or not I judged right and I made the right decision. So isn't this good for us? Very helpful, very practical in making the hard, tough decisions. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord. Because life throws a lot of things at us, and I don't think Pilate, when he woke up that morning, expected that he would have this kind of a political hot potato by the time the sun set and he would have to make such a drastic decision. But that's life. And Lord, every decision we make, whether we consider it big or small, Lord, help us to always go through the right process. Help us to be a principled people, love the Bible, want to know what God says, understand the principles, build conviction into our lives based on principles. Lord, make decisions in advance. If this happens, based on the scriptures here, I'll do this. I stand here. Lord, we need in America men of principle, women of principle. So I pray that you'll help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.